If we could have everyone sit down, please join us. If everyone will please find a seat, we'd like to start. What? I never smile. It is my pleasure to welcome you to tonight's program. This program is part of a series of events by Yeshiva University Israel to help further meaningful discussion and conversation about important issues facing both the diaspora and Israel Jewry. We are thankful to our hosts, Yeshurun Central Synagogue, and in particular, we would like to thank Yisachar Pollack, the executive director of Yeshurun, and David Brager, the ritual director of Yeshurun, for their guidance and help in all the arrangements for tonight's program. Before I introduce our Hoshana Rabbah program, I'd like to take a personal opportunity to invite everyone here to the Hakafos Hashiyot, which we have in Liberty Park Bell, which is sponsored by my good friend Eugene and Jean Gluck. And if there is anyone who needs an invitation for the reserve section, I have invitations in my pocket. You can see me at the break. It is now my privilege to introduce our Hoshana Rabbah program. Tonight's program addresses the challenges of child rearing and education in the modern Orthodox world. Through shiurim, conversation, and the performing arts, we invite each of you not just to listen to presentations, but also to participate and be part of this evening's discussion. Our program opens with a shiur by Morenu v'Rabbeinu Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, entitled, Is Torah Knowledge Enough to Qualify as Jewish Education? As one of the premier rabbis, philosophers, authors, and teachers of our time, Rabbi Lamb, of course, does not need any introduction. He is our chancellor in Rosh HaYeshiva, and we are honored by his presence and thankful that he is giving us of his time and wisdom. It's always a pleasure to see Rabbi Lamb and his wife, Mindy, in Yerushalayim, and we look forward to continue to learn from him tonight and in the years ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berman, friends. Where's Mr. Berman? Here. Thank you very much for those shiros, all those great introduction. It's hard to live up to it. I must tell you that very often when I hear elaborate introductions and the even more elaborate ones that I hear, it causes me a great deal of pain because I always feel that I can never live up to it. And besides, if you have any kind of sensitivity, it hurts. But Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave me the strength to withstand the pain, and I accept it very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Yeshua. In many ways, this is my Yerushalayim Shul. I've been here often, and I'm very grateful. I have gave me a seat that's kavua, and always a friendly face, good chazan, great people. The title of my talk, I always mention the title of my talk because I remember one fellow was giving a lecture, and he said the title of my talk is such and such. The reason I mention it is because I shall not have any occasion to refer to it during the course of my address. My night title is, as you heard, is Torah Knowledge Sufficient or Enough for a Good Jewish Education. I apologize for the fact that it's somewhat mysterious and nondescript title. But of course, education is the commandment and cemented as the fundamental construct in all of Yahadus. It is something with happy category of Torah Keneged Kulam. The study of Torah still is the prime mitzvah of the Torah and the distinguishing mark. I do not know of any other religion in which all people, all the communicants, not only the priest class, are commanded to study and to use their intelligence and intellect in understanding the basic texts and the basic understanding of the faith. Study of Torah, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, is when we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Someone told me he passed by a Reform temple, and on the outside bulletin board it said, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. So he said to him, Rabbi, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam in a Reform temple? He said, yes, you see, we read Hebrew also from left to right. It's Kulam Keneged Talmud Torah. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, when you say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, it means not that on one side you have Torah, on the other side you have mitzvos, and Torah outweighs all the mitzvos. No. It means that the Torah is the trunk of a tree, and the mitzvos are branches of the tree. They all stem from Torah. Torah is not over and against the mitzvot. It is the origin of all, the source of all. And this is especially true for Reb Chaim, who was the ultimate theoretician of Talmud Torah in the history of our people. He was the one who gave it the greatest and deepest and most profound expression. He even located the origin of Torah, not only in Matan Torah at Sinai, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's his realm. It begins with the Sfirot of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore is beyond description. Now, that does not mean, as some people like to think of themselves, as only Torah that counts. That's not true. The Gemara says in Yevamos, Ha'omer ein lo ela Torah, afilo Torah ein lo. Whoever says, I have only Torah, and that's it, you can be sure that he has no Torah too. Because it simply is not true. There is a world besides Torah, although it all stems ultimately from Torah. But my question is, seriously, is Torah knowledge enough for a Jewish education? We all have children. We have families. We want them to get a good education. Is Torah knowledge enough? What is your immediate, intuitive answer? Yes. Torah knowledge is everything. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. But of course, it's a tricky question because I specifically say Torah knowledge. Torah knowledge. Is the knowledge of Torah enough? And that, I think, has to be explained. And let me tell you what I have in mind. What is the mitzvah of Torah? Is it Yediyas HaTorah? Let me think of what I did. Forget where I am. Is it Yediyat HaTorah or is it Limud HaTorah? Is it knowing the Torah or is it studying the Torah? Is there a difference? A man can know a world of Torah, somehow he imbibes it one way or another, but he doesn't work very hard at it. Another person has much more limited knowledge of Torah and all its aspects, but he is incredibly efficient and spending all of his time, all of his mental energy in studying Torah. So which is more important, Limud or Yediyah? That's the question. And of course, if I ask the question, let me give you an example. If Hayitachen, if Bar Ilan, in addition to publishing those very wonderful responsa, they're up to 16 plus already, incredible achievement. What happens if it were possible for some, what shall I say, neurologist who has access to computers, develop a system where you can come to an office, sit down in his office, he'll put a plug into your ear or around your head, and you'll go to sleep, and meanwhile you'll wake up, and you'll know, Kol HaTorah Kula. Is that an achievement or isn't it? Is it credible? Is it worthwhile? Is it something that's worthy and praiseworthy? Or is it not? Now you're getting the whole Torah by artificial means, but you're getting the whole Torah. And the answer to that, as you probably expect me to say, is that it is not so, not at all. Not at all. And let me explain why. You go to the non-Jewish world, go to the great Greek world, which is the origin of so much of the thought of Western civilization. Plato taught that there are two concepts. One is being, existence, and one is becoming. You have a flower. The flower is, it's being. But the development of the flower from a seed, that is becoming. You follow? Now, which is more important, being or becoming? The Greeks said, being is only the becoming is only the servant of being. You grow, you plant a seed in order to have a flower. You study in order to know. Therefore, which is more important? Knowledge, the flower. Being is more important than becoming. The idea that you have to reach something, therefore beauty, and the Greeks were nothing if not worshippers of beauty, is something that exists. The way you attain the beauty is irrelevant. They don't care. Or take modern scientists. If a modern scientist wants to know anything at all about natural law, about natural life, he doesn't care how you develop it. He doesn't care how hard you studied, how many hours you spent in the laboratory or at lectures. The answer is yes or no, one way or another. That's the only thing that's important. You go to a conference of scholars, they don't want to tell them how hard you worked. You stayed up all night. Your wife and children couldn't bear it anymore. And no, that's irrelevant. The only thing is, what does he say? That's what counts. That is, in the scholarly world, it's very much of a Greek background. But that is not the way Yahadus works. Judaism does not work that way at all. In Yahadut, being serves becoming. Becoming, the process of attaining knowledge of Torah, is far more important than having it and then and keeping it. Yeah, therefore, Yosef Da'at, Yosef Machov. The more knowledge you have, the more pain you have. Why pain? Because you have to struggle to keep it. Torah is acquired through, it's Kinyan Torah. Kinyan means not only to pay for it, doesn't mean Kinyan in the substantial sense, it means Kinyan in the substantial creation. Whom did he buy it from? Did he pay for it? No, Kani means create. Therefore, Kinyan Torah means to create your insights into Torah, to work hard on it. And therefore, Yosef Machov, it hurts. It hurts to struggle hard is a painful procedure, but it is inevitable. Because becoming is greater than being. And Yegiyata Torah is more than Yediyata Torah. That is a very, very Jewish concept. The passion for learning trumps the knowledge of Torah, of God's word. Therefore, in our parlance, when we wanted to refer to a scholar, what do we say in Hebrew? He is a Talmid Chacham. We don't say he's a Chacham. Maybe a title for Sephardic rabbis. We say Chacham. Talmid Chacham means he's learning. He's always at it. He's always creating. He's in the process of becoming. Not only a Chacham. Someone told me recently, a young lady, a respectful young lady, got on a bus and was looking for a seat that was crowded. She noticed there was a Rav sitting, and she went back, and the seat was next to him was empty, and she sat down. He noticed that the Kinkelsach, he's very uncomfortable, he's moving around. She sees he's obviously very, very upset. So she said, got up, a very polite woman, and she stood, and she noticed then someone calling her. She sees a Svarda Grov says to her, Boy Hena, Shviya Yadi, come sit down next to me. She says, Aval Tarav, he says, no, Hu Rav Ani Chacham. So therefore, Limud HaTorah, Yigiyat HaTorah, is a principal idea more than Da'at HaTorah. The Mishnah says, Lefum Agra, Lefum Tzara Agra. Your reward for study is dependent on the amount of pain. You know, if you've ever tackled a difficult problem, I don't care in what area, the Gemara, and Kabbalah, and math, and anything, a very difficult one, you can't crack it. Do you feel pain? By all means, if you really are serious and you try to do something, you try to understand it, and it just doesn't go. There is such a thing as mental pain. When you have that pain, you know that you're a good Jew. It's tough to be a Jew, and it should be tough, because using your mind is not always an easy thing. Sometimes it takes everything you have in order to reach that degree. So if this is an important theoretical and practical principle that has its place in the theory and the philosophy of education. About 900 years ago, 500 years ago, one of the greatest Ashkenazic Rabbanim in Germany was the Tumas Adeshin, Rabbi Yisrael Isselin. Tumas Adeshin is one of the classics of Halacha. He has a very interesting statement. He said that one of his students invented what today would be called, you know what a lazy Susan is? Americans would know what a lazy Susan is. It's a round dish that can turn it around so you can give food to everyone. Turn it around, you take whatever you want. This young fellow created a lazy Susan with all sforum around it. He just turned it around and he had a sefer. And Rosh Hashiva of Isselin was very upset, and he said as follows, Otama bachorim ashirim hamfunakim, those rich kids who come here, are very special, lo tov hemosim, they don't do the right thing, then adarabak, shema makshim ach ha-sefer, uvalo betorach gadol, if they were looking for a sefer, and they had to work hard to get it, get up and get it and buy it, and or not have it right in front of them, then when they do that, if you have to work for it, you appreciate it. I remember when I was a child. Now, when I was older, I bought sperm. I went to order a check and I had a safer. Looked into it, put it away for a while. Maybe I forgot to look at it, forgot it after a while. When I was a youngster, came from a very modest home, very modest home. I used to save pennies to buy a safer. When I bought a safer, it was an incredible thing. I cherished it. To this day, if I see that safer, I kiss it twice. Because I put something into it. It bothered me. It pained me. I had to deprive myself in order to have it. If you love Torah, you deprive yourself in order to get it. You suffer for it. You pain for it. And that ache, that pain, that self-deprivation, that is the greatness that you bring to Torah. So, let me give you, in fact, a much more serious example. You know, Chaim Volozhiner was one of my favorites. He lived in the beginning of the 19th century. He's the creator, the founder of the Yeshiva of Volozhin, a Talmud, the major Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who lived about 200, died about 220 years ago or thereabouts. Chaim Volozhiner tells the following story. He was a very, very devoted, I would almost say a chosid of the Vilna Gaon, but he wasn't anything but a chosid. He was a great, great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. That means he used to go to the Vilna Gaon for about 2 months or a month a year and stay with him, and there they talked. One day he came to the Gaon, and the Gaon said to him, Chaim, I want to tell you something. Your younger brother, Zalman Volozhiner, the brother of Chaim Volozhiner, was younger than he. They predicted that had he lived the full measure of life, he would have been greater than the Vilna Gaon. Brilliant man. So he said to Chaim, tell Zalmullah that tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, Malachim will come to him in a dream, a mystical vision, and they will teach him the answer to all his problems in Torah. He will solve all his problems in Torah. And when those Magidim, he called them, when those Magidim come to him, tell him in my name that they Yavriach Otam. He should chase them away. Wake up. Don't listen to a word they say. I said, why? He can get all these secrets of the Torah, all this resolution of all those great problems that in their minds, their fabulous genius, were struggling with. Why should he do it? And he said, because I want you to know that Torah that is acquired painlessly is not Torah. Without a malha Torah, without the process of becoming, of working, of putting your whole gut, taking your guts out, and putting everything you have into it, that's not Torah. Torah that is easily acquired, is easily forgotten, and is not very significant. Not very significant. It means that if you get Torah easy, take that Bar Ilan thing that's going to put into your ear and tell you the whole Torah, Kolah, Torah, Kolah, and throw it away. I don't mean the Bar Ilans that they have now. But I mean, anything that's going to make it too easy is unacceptable. The very act of struggle is much more important than the process, the static process of having it, of doing it, of possessing it. So learning Torah is of the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You know, late Rabbi Young, whom I served with for many years, used to say, why do you say a man is a scholar in Hebrew? A lamdan. Lamdan, ken? What is a lamdan? Is he a man who knows? No. What is a gazlan? Is a gazlan a man who knows how to steal? No, he's a man who steals. So a lamdan is not someone who knows how to learn. It's a man who learns. A man who learns. That is the process of learning. That is the yigia. It is so important. So, those of us who are parents or grandparents and have children in the house or grandchildren, and they come home and they complain how hard it is to study and to learn, don't take it too seriously. Don't stress the grades that he gets. Don't stress what he knows. Stress only how he gets to know it, how he or she gets to know it. It means that the work, just the very fact of work, is most important. I remember when I was younger, my first great Rebbe was my grandfather's Zecher Tzadik Livracha, great Talmid Chacham. We were learning Psachim. In the beginning of Psachim, in some place, there was a Tosis, and Tosis quotes Kuntres, Rashi, in Yevamos. So we're learning together, so Tosis says, Perish, but Kuntres, Rashi says, in Yevamos, the following. So I read it, and I went on. He said, hold it. Wait a minute. What is it? He said, you just said that Tosis quotes Rashi. So what did Rashi say? I said, Rashi says, and I read the Tosis. Said, no, I don't. You believe Tosis? Of course. You got it all wrong, he said. Emunah is important in your practice of mitzvahs, in Emunah. But Emunah is not good when you're learning Torah. No faith. Don't take anything on faith. React, check. If Tosis says, perish but couldn't be Yevamos, please, Nachum, go to the library, take out the Gemara in Yevamos and look it up and see if Tosis quoted correctly. For me, that was a revelation. A revelation. Go back to the sources, hard as it is, time-consuming as it is, but you've got to be able to do it. And if your children complain that it's hard work, tell them the following. The Chazon Ish, Zatzal, was one of the great Gaonim of our generation. You've heard of the Chazon Ish, of course. And he writes in one of his letters a very moving passage, just a sentence or two. He says, "Umasati et kol hadvarim chamudim, v'devar kal kemach shelo pagashti." I found in my life everything is difficult. I never had anything easy. The great Chazon Ish worked very hard at it. He found everything difficult, nothing easy. That's why he became the Chazon Ish. Otherwise, he would have been a secondary figure. So tell the children, if he could do it and work hard and feel that he's not getting any place, it's too difficult, they can do it as well. So the first thing we learn is Torah knowledge enough for a Jewish Torah education? The answer is no. Torah knowledge is not enough. It has to be Torah learning, the act of being, of acquiring Torah, that is the most important thing. The second item in what is necessary for a Torah life and Torah education. A well-rounded Jewish education also has to have spiritual consequences. There has to be a spiritual element. Hasidim said that Talmud Torah should be done with dveikut. Dveikut is a very hard word to translate. From the word davek, means attached. Dveikut means communion. To feel that you're coming together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're attaching. You have to be ledavka bo. So the Torah is used as a means of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means, Torah should be given with a religious experience. Now, Reb Chaim V'lozhin talked about this. He was very upset with it. He was a strict intellectual of Torah. He said, Torah itself is the greatest veikut. You don't have to have any kind of emotional experience. No emotional experience. But, I feel in our generation, it's not enough. Torah should be a way to give us religious inspiration, because otherwise we have very few other sources for feeling deeply and genuinely religious, feeling that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you want to connect yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Torah still is the best way, and we shouldn't waste it. You know, there's a story about the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus, not about Torah, but about Tefillah, and I'll see how it comes to it. They say, Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim say they were going with him to an abandoned, traveling. They came to a town, it was time for Mincha, and they saw an abandoned shul. So they opened the door, they waited for the Rebbe to walk in. So he walked to the door, and he stops, doesn't go in. Talmidim wait, look at each other, what's going on? Why doesn't he go in? It's open, and no traps, no steps. Rebbe, why are you not going in? He said, I feel intuitively that the tefillot that were recited in this Beit Midrash, in this Beit Knesset, were rolled off the lips and fell like dead weight on the floor. It was without heart, without inspiration, without veikut. The tefillot never rose to heaven. They just dropped dead. And they littered the whole place. It's so crowded with dead tefillot, I can't go in. It's a story, you can believe it or not believe it, but whether true or not that it actually happened, it gives a message. That tefillah has to be with tremendous, tremendous veikut, tremendous emotion. But even Torah has to be with tremendous emotion. It has to result in something. Otherwise, our children and we ourselves, if we don't learn with a sense of veikut, at least somewhat, we'll not get it elsewhere. It's very difficult to get it elsewhere. So, contrary to Reb Chaim, it is simply important that we do that. You know, it means work, and it means that. You have to do it, and you can't just learn and expect it to stay there where you are. It requires constant iteration and reiteration. The third thing I think we need, there's such a thing as enjoying Torah learning. It may be hard, but it has to be a happy event. It can even be something that makes you cringe and painful, but it's a happy painfulness, because you're investing your time and your energies in Da'at Elokim and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a tremendous experience. You know, if you keep on emphasizing the difficulties of learning without at the same time showing, I'm going to use an Americanism, that it can be fun, you're making a mistake. Children look to their parents, their grandparents, certainly their teachers, as role models, even if they don't like the Rebbe or the parent. They look for them as role models. They have to see us, when we open the Gemara, a Parsha Chumash, whatever it is, just delighting in it, getting a sense of simcha. Sisu v'simcha b'simcha Torah. You have to have not only in simcha Torah, but all the time. When you learn, when you're involved in Yiddishkeit, it has to be with a happy mean. Of course, it doesn't mean that Tisha B'Av you have to be happy. But except for certain occasions, at all times, otherwise, it means you have to be involved in loving what you're doing. I tell the story of a Litvak who was walking around, very worrisome look on his face, grumbling. So the man said to him, why are you so upset? He said, I'm angry at the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're angry at the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why are you angry at the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Because he gave us a Torah which says, Samachta b'chagach, you should be happy in your holidays. How can you be happy? That's a terrible thing. It's plus. It's not the right thing. It's not so. V'samachta. Simcha, even in difficult circumstances, you have to achieve a sense of simcha and to understand that it's a makor of simcha, a source of simcha. Fourth, as you know, I believe in Torah Amada. Torah Amada, which means that Torah can be combined with knowledge of the world. Mada, that means not only science. What does Mada mean? Generally. In the Rambam, what does Mada mean? personality, character. There's some total of knowledge of all kind, not only natural science, but knowledge of all kind. That Abraham had a great deal of knowledge of all kinds of things. Torah Mada means that Torah is studied, and by all means, always takes precedence, unquestionably. Torah comes first. But in addition to that, we have to be open to the wonders of creation, to the Pliyot HaBriyah. God created a very masterful world, a very complicated world, a wonderful world. And we have to be able to study it and understand it and appreciate the greatness of the Borei Olam by looking at the Briyah. When the Rama says, what is the way to achieve Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem? Do you recall in the beginning of Hilchot Tayot, the second parak? What is the way? You contemplate the heavens, the stars, the heavens in general. You're overwhelmed by the, and in those days they didn't even know how many trillions of planets there were out there. You have to be overwhelmed. And in being overwhelmed by the study of astronomy, two things happen. The first one is that you go back into yourself. You feel like a nothing. You ever try it in the country sometimes, or on the farm? You lie down and look up at night in the great starry skies. What feeling do you have? Feeling I'm a nobody. I'm a mote floating over the great abyss. I have no value whatsoever. Look at this tremendous. You can't even count the number of miles and the number of stars and planets. And then immediately says the Rambam, miyad, this feeling of turning into yourself and being belittling yourself. You have to say, how great is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I therefore am growing myself by knowing that the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work here. And as I study that wisdom, I come to Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. From the sense of something falling back in the beginning, that leads to Yirat Hashem. When I study what's going on, and I appreciate his wisdom, what is that? Ahavat Hashem. So you see, the study of Mada can enhance one's religious experience. And therefore, Torah and Mada, again, I emphasize that on the one hand, Torah has precedence. On the other hand, I am not speaking of Torah in Parnassa. I don't know who concocted that particular locution, but it's not what we're talking about. You have to have Parnassa, certainly, but that's not what Torah and Mada means. It means just to appreciate knowledge for the sake of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you're not going to use it, if you're not going to make a living from it. It's Ma'aseh Yodav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is something that is beyond compare. Finally, you Israelis have so many problems in this country, you probably aren't aware of the problems that we have in America. Recently, something came to the attention of the public. It was very painful. A company called Agroprocessors, have you heard about it here? Not the Americans, the Israelis. Heard about it, of course. Bad news travels fast. Supplies, I think, 90% of all the kosher meat in the United States. It's a Lubavitch family that owns it, and they really supply all the kosher meat, almost all. The government had inspectors come down, and they filed charges against the company because of exploitation of labor, violation of immigration laws, having children working there, no safety features, a whole bunch of things. Devastating, absolutely devastating. Now, I must tell you, I don't know if they're right. I don't know if the government is right, and certainly we have no right to condemn people simply on the basis of a charge. It'll come to court, we'll find out that's ours. But right now, we can't assume that. But if it should be proven true, then it's a black eye for all of us. It's a black eye. I must tell you, I'm even further disturbed by some very, very religious Jews, so religious they out from everybody else, actually said, we don't believe you should have any linkage between the technical kashrus and ethics. Ethics is one thing, kashrus is another. You can be a ganef and a gazlan and a rapist and whatever you want, but if you shecht it properly and you salt it and do everything else, that's kosher. You shouldn't link one with the other. That's terrible. That's terrible. Torah, and Yiras Shamayim, without ethics, without simple ethics, simple moral posture, what does it mean? It means that everything is phony. The people who said that tried to make up for it later, retracting it, but they couldn't. This is a very, very dreadful thing. Torah is the greatest thing in the world, but it goes together with Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. You know, I remember I was working in the yeshiva in the main building after the Rav Zatzal gave a shir, a regular shir. He walked out, and then a friend of mine, a younger friend, who was a student of the Rav, he's an interesting fellow, a Sephardi, wonderful young man, approaches the Rav when he was in the middle of going down. He was very preoccupied. He said, Rebbe, I have a very difficult problem. He said, what is it? So the young man says, Rebbe, I'm in charge of a yeshiva in Brooklyn, and we cannot possibly make a go of it. We can't possibly have it succeed unless I violate federal laws. What shall I do? The Rav didn't hesitate. Shrugged his shoulder, so close the yeshiva. You're going to have a yeshiva teaching children by stealing from the government? That's outrageous. Better don't teach them anything. But to teach, and someday they'll find out that you were a ganef and a goslin, and a avrichei ameches, and you did things that were terribly unethical and immoral? No way! No way! Torah, study of Torah, tefillah, all things are absolutely necessary, but so is an ethical conduct on the part of people who are bnei Torah. And anything less than that is outrageous and should not be tolerated. So, to summarize my words, and not to speak too long, what I said is that what is necessary for a good, full Jewish education? Number one, that work, yegia, and kinyan Torah is more important than limud Torah. That becoming is more important than being. Becoming, the process of acquiring Torah knowledge, is more important. And second, that Torah should bring with it the blessing of a religious experience, a feeling of kirvas Hashem, kirvas Elohim. Otherwise, it becomes simply an abstraction. And then it should be enjoyed. I remind my friends all along that there's no such a thing as Torah being osa b'hanor. You're not allowed to have hanor from Torah. Of course you have to have hanor from Torah. It's a major principle of enjoying it. And if you feel a certain, use the Yiddish word, like a geschmack, a certain loveliness about the process of learning Torah, you're not going to enjoy it, and you probably won't do it very much. And then Torah Mada, and finally, it has to be also an ethical life along with the Torah life, because the two of them cannot exist one without the other for us. I'm going to close with a vart by Reb Chaim Veldezhen himself. The bracha we make over Torah, the second bracha, we say, Asher natan lanu Torah temet, and v'chayei olam nata b'dochenu. What does that mean? I thank God, I bless God, who gave us a Torah of truth. This is the emes, the emet. V'chayei olam nata b'dochenu. What does it mean, chayei olam? Life of what? Eternal life means olam haba. He implanted in us olam haba. Says Rav Chaim, Olam Haba is not something that's going to take place after we die or after the Mashiach comes. Olam Haba takes place now. If you want to know what Olam Haba is, first of Shabbos is made in Olam Haba, and Torah. Torah, you learn Torah. Difficult as it is, wonderful as it is, this is Olam Haba. When you have a sense that you're here going to another world, another realm, way beyond the cruelties and the niceties and the indifferences of our regular existence. You know, this is Olam Haba. Then you really enjoy the other world while you're still in this world. With that, I thank you very much and hope that at least some of the things I've said, at least I should keep them in mind for myself.
Thank you, Dr. Lam. We have all just seen a glimpse of your wisdom and scholarship. Any words would be inadequate to introduce you, and that is why we use the phrase, he needs no introduction. YU Israel, Yeshiva University Israel, is blessed to have Mark Lerner as its director, and Shuki Taylor as his assistant, and we thank them for conceiving and making all the arrangements for tonight's program. And my phone. I should have asked everyone to do this before we started. Okay. The Espiglaria Theater was founded by Rabbi Haggai Luber in 1998. The purpose of the theater is to produce shows based on values from the Jewish world. The theater's main goal is to reawaken the Jewish culture with all its beauty. The shows deal with the conflict between the believing Jew and the modern world. Today, the theater has 14 praiseworthy shows running throughout Israel. Tonight's show is called Torn. It is written and directed by actor Shuli Rand and performed by Rabbi Haggai Luber. Torn tells the story of a yeshiva high school student, son of a prestigious religious family, who begins to question and rethink the values and beliefs in which he's reared. The compelling story of faith and doubt and self-discovery addresses the multiple dilemmas that confront religious teenagers today. Following the performance will be a panel discussion moderated by Dr. Dodi Tobin, who holds a PhD in clinical psychology and is currently both in private practice and a teacher of Judaic studies at Machon Mayon, a post-high school seminary. The panel features Rabbi Kenneth Brander, the Dean of Yeshiva University's Center for the Jewish Future, Dr. Etan Eckstein, Director of Retorno Center, and Mrs. Tova Rhein, Director of the Overseas Program in Midrashis Lindenbaum. At this time, we are ready to begin tonight's performance. Ladies and gentlemen, Torn. At this time, Shuki is going to tell me. We're going to lose the crowd. Okay. At this time, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Please, this is a very exciting program. We have to set up the stage. Refreshments are outside in the sukkah. You would be making a mistake if you get the refreshments and go home. You'd be missing a great performance. Thank you.
There's going to be Tefillat Arvid at the back of the shul, Mariv at the back hall.